ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's John Fricke and Joe Patrick.
It is game night for the Falcons, but not just any game. Sunday Night Football, and not just any Sunday Night Football. Tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Raheem Morris and the Falcons host the powerhouse defending Super Bowl champions Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. And welcome to 92.9 The Game's coverage of the Falcons and Chiefs. John Fricke is mentioned alongside our Falcons insider and reporter Joe Patrick. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. And the Falcons were dealing last week in Philadelphia. That stunning comeback win in the final moments on the road here. And, Joe, I think the big question everybody wants to know is, how hot is it outside?
It's hot. But it feels like it's right for the occasion, you know. It's like these are two teams. I mean, the Chiefs are obviously red hot to start the season. This is obviously the most anticipation we've had for a Falcons game, especially here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in a heck of a long time, if ever, which I think we'll talk about a little bit later. So it's hot outside, but I think the atmosphere is going to be hot inside as well when I think about 8:20 gets around and we get kickoff tonight.
All right, so what is that win last week? What does it, so that's obviously the question. That's one everybody's talking about. What does that win mean for the Falcons now and moving forward?
Oh, man. I mean, I think it was so huge for this team, the confidence both inside the team and outside the team. I you know, from a fan's perspective, you know, we were talking about this a little bit off air before we started, but, you know, I think a lot of fans were predicting that this team would be at 1-1 coming into this game against the Chiefs. I think a lot of those fans, myself included, would have said that they would have won the first game of the season and then probably lost when they went on the road. But I think going on the road and beating the Philadelphia Eagles, a Super Bowl contender, at least we think, coming into this season, going in winning on the road where this team has not won hardly at all over the last couple of years, and then to just do it in a primetime game with obviously Kirk Cousins has that whole narrative going around him, and obviously the Falcons just have not been in that spot. So to actually show up under the bright lights and actually be able to shine and, you know, pull out a win in dramatic fashion at the end there, I think that that just does wonders for the mentality of this team and this fan base.
Well, as we count down towards the pregame show at 6 and, of course, kick tonight at 8:20, Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson on the pregame show, and, of course, Wes and Dave with the call of the game of the Falcons and the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to break down the Chiefs as we move along all the way to kickoff tonight. But I want to bust a number of narratives that I have heard this week, and because they have bothered me. I want to begin. Let's go back to last week at the end of the game. This narrative that Saquon Barkley lost the game because he didn't catch the third down pass, I dispute this because even though obviously, yes, if he had caught it, he would have walked in the end zone. I understand that. And he would have sealed the win. But Philadelphia did get a field goal. And Philadelphia is at home. They're up 6 with a minute and a half to go. And the Falcons had to win the game on offense, on special teams, because after the Drake touchdown, he got the 15-yard penalty. Let's not say that one of the unspoken plays in that game was a 48-yard extra point by Koo. And then they had to win it on defense because they left so much time on the clock because they went so fast on offense, and yet Jesse Bates gets the big pick here. So they had to win it in all three categories in the final 90 seconds. So even though Saquon dropped the ball, the fact is Philadelphia didn't lose the game. Falcons took the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what's funny, John? So you've heard all this talk about there being having been like a 97% chance that the Eagles were going to win that game at one point when they had that chance to convert on that third down. Well, guess what percentage the Falcons had to win after that field goal was kicked? 95% the Eagles did. So it's like the field goal really only changed the winning percentage for the Eagles. It only diminished it by a couple of points. It was still, the game was very much in their hands, and the Falcons went and took it away. So you got to give them a ton of credit for mounting that drive. Again, with Kirk Cousins, a new quarterback, I think that that drive was so important for this team. And again, this fan base, in terms of galvanizing behind this quarterback, who I think there were obviously a lot of questions about coming off of that Steelers performance. I think that's really, you know, people were kind of joking, like, legacy drive here for Kirk going into this this two-minute drill against the Eagles, but I think he really went ahead and did that, and I think puts himself in great stead as the leader of this team, beyond everything he is as a quarterback, of the leader of this team heading out through the rest of the season.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show live from the smooth lot here across from the Signia Hotel and right next to Mercedes-Benz Stadium on this rather warm first day of fall here as we count down to kickoff between the Falcons and the Chiefs. So narrative number one, let's dispute this and let's go ahead and say it's not a true narrative that Saquon lost the game. He may have, in fact, but the Falcons still had to go win the game and had to win it in all three categories, and they did so in all three, offense, special teams, and defense here.
Yep.
Narrative number two. There are a number of the Falcons have become a very trendy pick this week among some of the sharps, as they say. Hey, the Falcons are going to end the Chiefs' win streak. Chiefs have won 8 games in a row. Going back to last year, they haven't lost since last Christmas Day when they got upset by the Raiders in Kansas City. So they haven't lost in 8 games. Oh, the trendy pick is to go with the hot team. And when you read the why, it's, oh, the Falcons are going to build off this momentum that they had in Philadelphia. I got to tell you, Joe, I think if the Falcons do win this game tonight, it's going to be, okay, there's some momentum. Sure, of course, you can't say that there isn't. But the Falcons are going to win this game because, not because of momentum, the Falcons are going to win this game because what you saw in that game in Philadelphia all the way through and then to the end of the game is that the Falcons are a good football team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that is supported by the fact that look at who the Falcons have played so far. They've played the Eagles and they beat them, who, by the way, are looks like they're going to beat the Saints today and give them their first loss of the season after the Saints became a really trendy pick, and for good reason, after the first couple games of the season. And the Steelers are undefeated at 3-0 now. So this Falcons team has actually played a pretty tough schedule. Granted, through 2 games, you know, how much can you judge it? But, you know, it's really impressive what the Falcons have done to this point. And whatever you did last week does not help you in this game. Actually, Raheem Morris has been talking about this, and all the players have been talking about it to a man this week, which was after the Steelers game, it was we can't let how down we are about the performance and our performance and the result in that game get us down for this Eagles game. We can't let the Steelers beat us twice. And now it's the talking point is we can't expect just because we won against the Eagles that all of a sudden we're flying high and we can just roll in at home and beat the Chiefs too. You got to take every week as it comes, every opponent as it comes. And it's tough for the Falcons this week because you're on a little bit of a short week having played on Monday. But the right mentality exists in that locker room and inside that building in Flowery Branch with the task they have at hand tonight.
All right, let's update it for you. The Eagles have beaten the New Orleans Saints down in New Orleans. The Eagles made
held
the big play.
Held them to 12 points, too, right?
They held them to 12 points, 15-12 final. The Eagles beat the Swampers. Buccaneers lose today. They got worked in that game, too, at home
by the
Broncos.
By a team the Steelers beat last week.
Right? Suddenly the Broncos go in and hammer the Bucs, and the Saints lose at home. The Bucs lose at home. Those are the next two opponents here, and as a result, the Falcons win tonight. They will be in a three-way tie for first place in the NFC South, and so how things change so dramatically from 2-0 Bucs, 2-0 Saints, and 0-1 Falcons facing the Eagles to suddenly they could go into that game next week against the Swampers, tied for first place, and then, of course, the following Thursday when the Falcons come here. So I'm looking at this.
Can't help yourself, John.
No, I can't. And so I'm looking at this saying, you know, this is starting to set up a little bit nicely. Boy, how things change in the span of about, say, 8 or 9 days.
Yeah.
You know, so
or 3 or 4 hours.
Or,
right,
or you know? maybe 90 seconds.
Yeah,
on the
right.
Clock,
it's funny
right?
how, especially us as NFL fans, you know, we see, you know, evidence in that happens in the world, and then we apply it. And, you know, these last 3 hours, I think, have turned some heads. But, I mean, these next 3 weeks for the Falcons are going to be so important. But establishing themselves on a national stage tonight, I think, is kind of the biggest opportunity this team has. Again, when you talk about the narratives that have surrounded this Falcons team, frankly, John, if I were in the Falcons building, if I was an employee of this, I may have been a little offended at some points, especially during this offseason, because I really felt, especially around the moves that the team made with the draft and how kind of unorthodox they were and they caught the whole national media off guard, I thought that they kind of became a punching bag because they took the performances from the last couple of years and then tagged, you know, this draft performance on top of it, and I think that this game tonight is a great opportunity for the Falcons as an organization to kind of show themselves off. You know, the team, the stadium, in those, you know, the bright lights of a Sunday night football game. It's just a huge opportunity for the entire organization tonight.
All right, which brings me to my third narrative that I want to bust here. So we busted a couple already. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show,
love
brought
it
to you in part by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons and the NFL. The third narrative here is that the game tonight, Adam Schefter tweeted it out talking about many officials inside of the Falcons, I guess, are saying that tonight's game, because of the nature of the fact that you have the Kansas City Chiefs and you have this national Sunday night game, is the most significant, the biggest game the Falcons have ever played to date at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And look, I'm not going to downplay how important the game is, but Joe, I got to tell you, for a significant stake, next week, next Sunday, a week from today, when the Swampers come in, and the following Thursday when the Faconeers come in, we've got to win those two games. Mm-hmm. I said at the beginning of the year, look, if this team is 3-2 after the Tampa Bay game, and they have beaten the Saints and beaten the Bucs, regardless of how the first three games play out, you're in really good shape.
Right, right. And I think that that's exactly how a lot of fans were kind of game planning these first handful of games of this season, which was, frankly, if we want to break it down game by game, it was beat the Steelers, lose the next two to formidable opponents in the Eagles and Chiefs. Of course, the Falcons have already beaten one of those teams in the Eagles, and then come back and win those two division games against the Saints and Buccaneers. And so they are still on track for that, but I got to say that I think you're even feeling more confident now as a Falcons fan the way that these two games have gone. One, again, you lose a tough game to the Steelers. They're undefeated so far through three games. And then you go on the road where you've had a lot of trouble over the last couple of years, and you kind of vanquish that demon of going out into a hostile environment in primetime and winning against a good team on the road. So I think that that's got to give you so much confidence for these three games that are coming up, like you said, that are going to be so and so important. And I think that this division, you know, we were talking about it before the season, is the weakest division in football or whatnot. I think it's pretty clear at this point that it's not the weakest division in football, and I think it's going to be one that goes down, maybe not to the wire, but I think it's going to be a close run throughout this thing.
Right, yeah, and again, the Saints have lost today 15-12 to the Philadelphia Eagles in a game that they could have won, salted away with defense, but the Philadelphia hit them with a big play. Got into position. It kind of looked like the Saints let them score.
Yeah.
But then the Eagles converted on a two-point extra point, and their defense held. And Philadelphia beats the Saints 15-12. The Bucs, meanwhile, get worked at home by the Broncos.
Yeah.
26-7.
Did not see that one coming whatsoever. I mean, credit to Bo Nix and Sean Payton for coming up with a good game plan against that team. But, you know, the Buccaneers were also really, really outgained by the Lions in week two, although the Buccaneers come out with a win. I don't know actually how exactly they pulled it off.
Detroit had it in the red zone seven times and only came away with points once in the seven.
Yeah, it was like a record-setting performance in terms of how unlikely it was for the team to actually win while being outgained by as much as they were.
247 yards.
Yeah, so I think there's still a lot of question marks about the Bucs and what they're ultimately going to be under a new offensive coordinator, having lost Dave Canales to Carolina. So it's going to be interesting. And then I'm also interested to see what Carolina looks like now with Andy Dalton under center instead of Bryce Young. Could they actually be markedly improved with a quarterback who can, you know, get the ball out and get it to some of those playmakers?
Well, let's put it this way. They can't be much worse.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't think, regardless, I don't think that they're one that anyone of these division foes are thinking about competing for the division.
No, I don't think so. I think they're looking at, is Shedeur Sanders actually any good?
You know? Yeah, right.
Exactly. Because they're already talking about, you know, the Panthers are saying what they have to say publicly to keep the market value up for Bryce Young, that Bryce will play again for them this year. Don't believe that. They are shopping Bryce Young.
Yeah, it looked like there were some rumors even coming out this morning saying, you know, are teams willing to, you know, make a deal for Bryce Young to maybe do something like the 49ers did with Trey Lance, where they traded him for, you know, meager draft picks, but, you know, the Cowboys took a shot on him. It doesn't look like he's going to pan out, but, you know, some team could potentially do that with
Bryce Dolphins.
Young. Yeah, or Miami Dolphins would definitely be an interesting option.
How about the New York Giants?
Yeah, the Giants, absolutely. You know, why not? Yeah,
so the Giants played well today. They won today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, they still believe in Daniel Jones for some reason or another. Beats the heck out of me. It is a warm day outside, but it's going to be hot inside as the Falcons and Chiefs get ready to tee it up at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is an 8:20 kick tonight on national TV. The audience is going to be huge. And, boy, you can feel the Falcons fever out here, Joe, because – you know, you're going to have a lot of Chiefs fans. I understand that. It's the nature of Atlanta. We're, you know, a city where everybody wants to move. And so you get a lot of people. These Chiefs fans didn't fly in from Kansas City. They just live here.
They wanted out of that cold weather out there.
It wasn't like you were going down to Hartsfield and there were like 15 planes Chiefs fans getting off. That's the way it works. They're driving in from Alpharetta.
Yeah, they travel well. That's what they always say. No, actually, not here.
They just live here.
They travel well from, like, Smyrna, you know.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke and Joe Patrick. We're taking it at 6 o'clock tonight. And the network pregame, 8:20 kick with Wes and Dave on the call inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Falcons and Chiefs ahead on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Go! Let's break it!
More. Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Cousins waving London to the far side. Takes a snap. Kirk looks, sails it. Drake there, caught! Touchdown Atlanta! Drake London!
You know, the guys, we talked about it early in the week, and you're talking about how you want to deal with the situation. These guys definitely came out and dealt with it. You know, you got to believe.
Got to believe. Welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, or outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. On the first day of fall, feels like summer. Going to be hot inside for the Falcons and the Chiefs tonight. John Fricke alongside Joe Patrick taking you to the pregame show and the network coverage at 6 o'clock tonight. The fact is, Drake London made a great move, such a great move that even Darius Slay went, you know, tip my cap on that one. And then Drake after the game talking about what winning would be for this team.
Yeah, I think it would be a huge statement. But, again, I don't think we're expecting anything less right now. Our goal is to win, and is to win every game that we go into. So it'll be a huge statement, but, again, we expect nothing less.
Right. Again, this goes back to busting the narratives here.
Right.
That if the Falcons were to win tonight, oh, they've got the momentum off. No. The Falcons are going to win because they're a good team. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we wanted to see that we talked so much about, or at least, Joe, I'll speak for myself, that I talked about with Kirk Cousins coming over here in the offseason was – we were finally going to be able to see, I thought, the best of Kyle Pitts, the best of Bijan Robinson, the best of Tyler Allgeier, the best of Drake London. All these guys that they had invested such high draft picks in, we're talking about guys that not only did he draft them high, but Terry Fontenot kept saying, look, Pitts was the number two guy on the board. London was the number two guy on the board. Bijan was the number two guy on the board. No matter where we drafted him, we viewed him, Michael Penix, we viewed as the 1A guy right there with Caleb Williams, if not number one. And so when they put that much stock and value, they just had to be able to get a chance to be able to shine. And what we've seen so far, oh, boy, they have started to shine. And it makes you think. I mean, look at how big that catch was, contested combat catch by Kyle Pitts to start that drive. Another one of those plays we don't talk about, but that Kyle Pitts catch at midfield, that contested combat catch, which allowed them to go left, left, and then come back to the right. And Drake London is about to see his star ascend. I mean, this is all good news.
Yeah, you're really starting to see, again, so much of what we're going to talk about with that Eagles game comes just down to that two-minute drive, really. But the team has been doing more of it throughout that Eagles game than they did against the Steelers, which is that, you know, getting the play action involved, playing under center, you're starting to see Kirk Cousins, the quarterback, really starting to be that kind of straw, the proverbial straw that stirs the drink, right? Because that's what this Falcons team has been looking for the last couple of years, which is that guy who could do that. They were hopeful that they were going to have a quarterback that would be able to do that, that was on minimal money last year, and I think that they learned their lesson. I think they learned a hard lesson. I think that they actually – a lot of people think that they overreacted to that. They overcorrected by making the move to sign Kirk Cousins and draft Michael Penix, but I continue to think that they just really are seeing around a corner, essentially, and seeing that it's not a very sustainable way a lot of these teams go about developing their quarterbacks, especially their young quarterbacks that they draft really early in drafts. We're seeing around the league these young quarterbacks really struggling. Caleb Williams, once again, not having a ton of success today, even though they relied on him to drop back 45 times or whatever it was. That's just not the way to really, really grow. And I think that they're being smart about this. And it still might be another full year. It might be two full years until Michael Penix actually sees, you know, decent playing time. But regardless, what they've got is a quarterback in Kirk Cousins that's able to get Drake London involved and get the best out of him. And we haven't even seen him really get truly the best out of Drake London, but you could even see on that game-winning catch that we made that we played the sound for you, just the move that he was able to make, the cut, it shows that Drake is more than just a big target. He can actually create separation for himself in some of those red zone situations, and that's the biggest area where this team has to improve this year from last year is in the red zone, not turning the ball over, making sure you're getting points, and then, of course, a lot of touchdowns.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer outside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, counting down to an 8:20 kickoff tonight between the Falcons and Chiefs on national TV here. Let's talk a little bit about the opponent. Kansas City Chiefs come in here. Was a time back in that 2016 Super Bowl run when the Chiefs came in to the old Georgia Dome and Eric Berry happened on a two-point return and the Chiefs upset the Falcons. But that really kind of set the Falcons afire, and that's what led to the Falcons really taking off from that point on in the run all the way to the third quarter of the Super Bowl, as we know. This Chiefs team, of course, three Super Bowl championships, seeking, you know, they have been the dominant franchise here in the NFL. 2-0 on the year. They beat the Ravens 27-20, held on to beat the Bengals by a point in game number two. They have won eight straight games dating back to Christmas, as we said, of last year here. Come in, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. But Travis Kelce, frankly, hasn't been impactful at all. I don't know if there's Taylor Swift hangover. See where, by the way, I just got to stop. Did you see where his brother apologized this morning to Falcons fans?
No, I didn't see this.
Yeah, Jason Kelce came out and said, I'm sorry, we kind of like dominated the whole thing. And, it turned into an Eagles broadcast. It wasn't. You lost the game. We don't care, Jason. I mean, you lost. We just got to beat Kelce number two.
Right, right. That's the one, that's the one we care most about. You know, not to get off too much on a tangent, it felt like ESPN was treating Jason Kelce like an investor or something. Like they were like sucking up to him in that
game. Well, it's a Taylor Swift move, dude.
I know.
I mean, it's like, can we get to your brother? Can your brother get us tickets? I mean, that's
the whole thing annoys me so much. I mean, that family's had too much success in their lives. They deserve to lose some, and I think that should start tonight, for quite frankly.
So, Mahomes, 71% on the year, 72% passing. He's obviously a great quarterback. He's a GOAT. He's a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Rashee Rice is, despite all of his problems off the field, has managed to have a pretty good start to the season. Where Kansas City might be vulnerable is in that offensive line. Now, Mahomes gets the ball out pretty quick. He's suffered four sacks this year. Without Isaiah Pacheco, their leading rusher coming into this game is Carson Steele. He's a rookie out of UCLA. 9 carries, 27 yards. That's the leading rusher on the year for them.
Yeah. It's they're going to have to change some things up because Isaiah Pacheco is such a crucial part of what they do offensively, not just running the ball. Obviously, he does that as the running back, but he's so integral in the passing game and everything that he does for them. That's why he plays so much, is because Andy Reid trusts him in pass protection, and he's very involved in the receiving game as an outlet for Patrick. And so I'm interested, can Carson Steele be that guy? Will he have some mental lapses, especially in pass protection, that could, you know, when that happens, that can create some really bad situations for the offense. If you get like a guy who runs off clean on the blind side or something, that could be a strip sack and whatnot. And you mentioned it on the offensive line, the Chiefs are going to be without Kingsley Suma. I can't pronounce the last name, but he'll be replaced. He got pulled. He's a rookie. They pulled him out of the game last week because he was playing so poorly. Replaced by Wanye Morris, not one of the Boyz II Men singers, John. I know that's who you thought I was talking about, but he's actually named after him. One of the Chiefs' backup offensive linemen is expected to start tonight. But still, you would think at tackle, you'd think that a guy like Matthew Judon could have quite a bit of success against a player in Wanye Morris, who he himself is no great shakes. And so they're going to have some interesting ways to figure out how to protect Mahomes tonight.
Well, I mentioned that. I said Carson Steele's leading rusher. He's obviously not. Patrick Mahomes is leading rusher here. So with Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he's going to beat you with his arm. I mean, he's going to make plays. He's Patrick Mahomes. Is it really important for this team to get sacks tonight, or is it more important to just kind of contain him and not let him get those third down and six where he is able to get outside contain and pick up a first down? Is it more important to kind of limit that part of his game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you have to expect that he's going to win his fair share of the plays. There's just, you know, with great players, there's nothing you can do to stop them. But I think actually what it is for the Falcons, it is about, you want to generate the pressure and things like that, but I think that the clear area where I think the Falcons sense an opportunity is to take a turnover or two away from Patrick Mahomes. He's put the ball in harm's way so far early in the season. He's thrown three interceptions through two games, and he could have thrown more. There's been a couple that have been dropped, and some really bad ones too, which I don't know. Whenever you see a really bad interception in the NFL, especially from a great player, it's typically down to some sort of communication error or something systemic that was not just him throwing it directly to an opponent. And so that's actually, I think, a good thing for the Falcons. It's still early in the season. These Chiefs, even though they win Super Bowls, they're not necessarily world killers throughout the regular season. They have their fair share of ups and downs. And, Patrick Mahomes has a tendency to turn the ball over. And if they can get a couple of those, which I know is a focus for them, something they really want to pride themselves on is being one of those kind of game-changing types of defenses, you know, they can start to kind of create that narrative about themselves tonight.
Well, they're going to be facing one of the critical things, matchups to me, will be the Falcons secondary against the Chiefs wide receivers in Rice and Xavier Worthy. Worthy can stretch the field. We saw that in week one. He can certainly be a game-breaking home run kind of hitter here. I thought we saw much more. Maybe it's just a chance that they had to play together and kind of start to feel each other out. But much more from the Falcons secondary in the Philadelphia game than I thought we saw against Pittsburgh. Even though Pittsburgh didn't score a touchdown, you had kind of George Pickens running all over the place. Mm-hmm. Now, I know A.J. Brown was out last week, but it seemed like the Falcons were more on the same page, and we didn't see so much of, some on-field discussions that were taking place between Bates and Simmons. They were starting to understand a little bit about where they're going to be. And, now you got A.J. Terrell, and Mike Hughes is off to a fabulous start this year. So maybe they knew something when we were all saying, hey, got to get another corner. They're going, we're going to be okay.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that last week against the Eagles, and they were not rushing. Their plan was to kind of drop a lot of defenders into coverage and make Hurts beat them with his arm. But what ended up happening statistically is just that the Falcons end up generating a ton of registered pressures in that game because Hurts was just searching around for a receiver for so long. The rush was eventually able to get close enough to him where it was registered a pressure by the people who keep the stats. So they were able to still kind of keep him contained for the most part. And in general, that Eagles offense, it was the running game that was really killing the Falcons. The Eagles started gashing them, especially late, and it felt like they were going to be able to run the ball out against them. But again, I think that this matchup actually maybe even plays a little bit into Atlanta's favor with just like where Atlanta has its best players in terms of being able to rush the passer, especially on the interior, and on the edge now with Matthew Judon. And you've got these great playmakers, Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates. Justin Simmons has intercepted Patrick Mahomes more than any player in Mahomes' career. So you've got players who I think have a level of confidence in feeling like they can actually win this chess game that is played between safeties and cornerbacks. And hopefully they can create some of those plays.
Well, let's look, Joe, Patrick, and John Fricke with you on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show here. At the Falcons' offensive line, they kept Kirk Cousins clean for the most part in the game, but more importantly to me, one of the things you saw against Philadelphia, Saquon got off to the great start running the football, and here comes Bijan with the big game. Here comes Tyler Allgeier. So far this season, Bijan is averaging 5.2 yards per carry. Tyler Allgeier is averaging 6.2 yards per carry.
Yeah.
I think that there's got to have to be a move, I would think. You would think that the Falcons are going to start looking at this saying, Zach Robbins is saying, if we can get 5-2 and 6-2 out of our running backs, why are we not beating the hell out of teams?
Yeah. Well, I think that they will continue to really utilize, especially Allgeier. I feel like you can see defenses kind of get demoralized when Bijan is kind of, doing what Bijan does, making guys miss and picking up yardages, and then he comes off. And you can almost sense that teams are, okay, Bijan's off the field now. Thank goodness, we can set up for the pass. And then you just get Allgeier running with his hard head, and just barreling over guys. And it's like almost, you can almost see them, defenders kind of get overwhelmed. Like, oh, my gosh, like now they can bring in this guy. And so it's such a great 1-2 punch that the Falcons have. I think it keeps both these backs as fresh as the Falcons feel like they need to keep them. If they want to keep Bijan in there for longer, they can do that. But there's certainly, Zach Robinson has so many toys to play with in this offense, whether it's those two backs, the guys on the edge. There's a lot of and I think that there's even things that we haven't quite seen yet in terms of what they can do in the screen game, weird end-around stuff, utilizing both Tyler Allgeier and Bijan in the game at the same time. I know they did that when Bijan had that end-around for the fourth down conversion against the Steelers. Tyler Allgeier was lined up in the backfield. So there's so much creative things that Zach Robinson can do with these pieces. I think we're only, dipping our toe in the water of what this Falcons offense is ultimately going to be come the end of the season.
With all the playmakers out there, I know that there's a great desire, Joe, to think of two words when it comes to playing Patrick Mahomes, and that's baseball hat. And you want to just make sure that he's sitting there on the sidelines in a baseball hat. He can't hurt you over there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that I can make a case that the Falcons ought to just – I think they need to just let the horses loose and out of the barn, because if they can – game, just take a game and to the point where we're not playing 20-17 suddenly. I'm not saying necessarily tonight, but tonight, tomorrow, the day after, whenever, that you suddenly are ahead 34-7. Let's go win one like that.
Yeah. And make no mistake, this Chiefs defense is actually very good. Like, this team used to be defined as being a heavy on offense and light on defense. They still have the great quarterback. They don't have as many solid pieces around him offensively, but he can make them work. And then defensively with guys like Chris Jones, George Kloftis, like these guys, Trent McDuffie in the secondary, they've got pieces in that on that defense. And it's going to be a tough battle. Like, we like to talk about what we hope the Falcons can do, but make no mistake, I mean, this thing is going to be a knockdown, drag-em-out fight tonight.
It has been a very interesting Sunday already in the NFL. We'll update you. The Falcons have a chance tonight to move into a tie for first place in the NFC South. If they can knock off Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, this is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on this Falcons-Chiefs Sunday on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio, 92 on the game.
Go! Let's break it!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I always believed, one, really good play-action passing quarterback. Two, I think it's a really good, to AQ's point, really good offensive line when it comes to that zone scheme. And then three, they've got the pieces that should excel in this offense. I feel all offseason I've said, hey, Drake London is going to be a breakout star. Bijan Robinson is going to play like Todd Gurley in this offense that he did for the Rams when Sean McVay got there. I've always thought that that defense, now that they've added Bates in 1 year and Simmons in the next year, Terrell is awesome. So
debated whether or not we should play that drop, because it's love from the national media, but it's Dan Orlovsky. So, yeah, you know, I don't want it to be bad karma.
Hey.
But again, I just want you to know that the reason I chose to do that, welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, is the national media is starting to get on board finally. This is why I wanted to spend the opening segment of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show busting the narratives. They're finally starting to see what we're starting to see and what we've talked about, Joe Patrick, for so long, that this is a really good football team. And again, and now that they've got a little bit of momentum, this ought to be a really interesting football game tonight. And of course, the next couple of weeks, we got three straight division games coming up with the Swampers, the Faconeers. And the reason I called them the Faconeers is because they were 2-0, and everybody's like, oh, look at the Bucs. And I'm going, I think they're a fake team. Look what happened to them today.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked earlier in the show about just, you know, that win they had against the Lions. You can never say it's a bad win necessarily. No win in the NFL is a bad win, especially a win against the Lions, who we think is a really good football team. But we talked about it. They just got completely outgained. I think you said by 247 yards in that game. Like, that's just not a sustainable way to win in the NFL. And they are dealing with some injuries as well. So maybe that hurt them in this game against the Broncos. But still, I mean, it's a Broncos team that is very limited with a limited rookie quarterback in Bo Nix. And so despite whatever injuries they had, you would expect them to win that game at home. And they didn't even come close.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, sponsored in part by the Breakfast Sauce from the makers of the W Sauce. So good you'll want breakfast all day. Visit WSauce.com to find a breakfast sauce retailer near you. So let's swing around the NFL, because we do have the late game tonight. We already have most of the games in the NFL this week already under the books here. Thursday night, the Jets beat the Patriots 24-3. A-Rod looked pretty good. And I know there was this little bit of a thing with him and Robert Saleh on the sideline. But, you know, these old quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers, suddenly they had a moment.
Yeah, they did. They did. I got to say, that thing with him and Saleh, like, listen, if you could slow-mo any kind of three-second clip of a sideline and find any kind of interaction, you might find, you know, less than cordial. I don't know. But I don't think there's anything there. I think they're both happy just to win.
This look around the NFL is brought to you by Hatfield. Put pork on your fork from the folks at Hatfield. All right, so let's begin in the NFC South. If the Falcons win tonight, suddenly they will be tied for first place in the NFC South. And this is how fast things change.
Exactly.
Because going into the Eagles game on Monday night, you had the Swampers at 2-0. You had the Faconeers at 2-0. The Falcons were 0-1. People were like, oh, we're a game and a half out of first place. And suddenly they're going into the game now against the Chiefs. And voila, if they win, they're tied for first, because the Saints at home got beat by the Eagles today 15-12 in a game where the Eagles scored all 15 points in the fourth quarter and came down the field in the final minute to score. It looked like the Saints allowed them to score the touchdown because they only had a minute to go, but then they converted on the two-point extra point as well, and as a result, they hang on with their defense. The Saints fall for the first time this year to the Eagles, 15-12.
Not only did they win that game, but they're the first team, the Eagles are, to really slow down that new Clint Kubiak offense that they've got there in New Orleans that had, you know, just been running rampant over these first couple games of the season. And I was kind of warning people, you know, it's like, you know, they kind of clobbered the Cowboys, and I always feel like you got to take that with a grain of salt, because because whenever the Cowboys lose, I feel like they lose in spectacular fashion where they completely capitulate. So you always kind of have to take these score lines with some context there. And, you know, to see the Saints just hold them or see the Eagles hold the Saints to just 12 points, I think it maybe puts that what they are beyond their record, but what they are as a football team and their style of play, especially offensively, maybe puts that in a little bit better perspective as opposed to the record-setting performances they had put up in the first couple weeks.
So the Swampers fall to 2-1. The Bucs fall to 2-1, as you mentioned, losing at home, but they didn't just lose at home. They lost at home to the Broncos, who, frankly, are a mid-team, and they not only lost at home to the mid-team, but they got run out of their own building 26-7.
Yeah, I think that calling the Broncos mid might be a, you know, that might be even overestimating what they are. Considering the cap kind of situation they're in, having to eat that Russell Wilson contract, which is absolutely brutal. They also made a couple other cuts just because they decided to just go ahead and you know, bite the bullet and get through this cap situation that they're in. It is a really depleted team as far as what they're, how, you know, what they're able to do with that roster, and just a really embarrassing loss for the Buccaneers today to the Broncos. I don't know any other way to put it. To do that at home, man, that is rough. And great for the Falcons.
Well, the old dudes continue. The old dude quarterback thing. Aaron Rodgers wins, Kirk Cousins wins, and now Andy Dalton, who's been installed in Carolina, has thrown a touchdown pass early in their game, and the Panthers lead the Raiders 7-0 in Las Vegas behind the Red Rifle.
Are the Panthers going to make some storming comeback in the NFC South? I'm not half expecting it. Maybe I'm quarter expecting it. I think they're going to be a better football team with Andy Dalton at quarterback. I think a lot of these teams who are playing young quarterbacks in the NFL would get immediately better results if they went to their more experienced backup. But there's obviously reasons they don't want to do that. But for the Panthers, they really need to put up any semblance of competitiveness this year to keep that fan base engaged, if anything.
So as we stand right now, the Swampers are 2-1. The Fakeneers are 2-1. The Kitty Cats are 0-2 and playing in Las Vegas. And, of course, the Falcons take on the Chiefs tonight. This is the Wait for Tailgate Show, sponsored in part by Findlay Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer at Findlay Roofing. All right, let's talk about some of the other games that have taken place so far.
Yeah, some interesting results today.
Right, let's talk about those. The Giants go in and beat the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland 21-16. There is a lot of angst in Cleveland. This, you get worked at home and lose to the New York Giants. Yeah, that's not going to go over well.
Yeah, this may be even more embarrassing than the Buccaneers to lose this game at home to the Giants. I mean, man, now that puts the Browns at 1-2 and without a lot of hope in what they are in their style of play with quarterback Deshaun Watson, who's just not really turning it around, not really getting back into the form that we saw him in Houston. And he's on, obviously, a massive contract. It feels like dark days for the Browns fans. After last year where their hopes were – they were so elated, you know, when Joe Flacco came over and took them on that run to the playoffs, that feels like in the distant past at this point.
Let's talk about two young head coaches, both of whom were quarterbacks in college. Zach Taylor, of course, quarterback of my Huskers.
Yeah.
He goes in there, and Zach Taylor does, nice things with the Cincinnati Bengals. And then you look at what the Bengals did last week and lost by a point, and they're playing on Monday night against the Commanders. And then another young one, Kevin O'Connell, of course, I try and be transparent here. I know Kevin fairly well. I know his family. He was my quarterback at San Diego State. So I've got some ties to other teams here. Boy, Kevin O'Connell's done a really nice job.
Yeah.
And the Vikings just laid waste to the Texans today. To the Texans. They beat them 34-7.
We were chatting during the break, John and I were, and I got to say, I think if I were making a power rankings of NFL coaches right now, I think I have to put Kevin O'Connell at the very top of that list. I mean, nobody was expecting the Vikings as a team to come out at this point and be 3-0 and to do it in the way they've done it, winning by big margins, creating big plays still with Sam Darnold under center, who obviously could never get it going in Carolina or his other stops. It's just a masterclass of coaching. And, you know, there are certain coaches in this league that are able to get quarterbacks to play well. I think that Kyle Shanahan's one of them. It's something that Raheem Morris has talked about, Zach Robinson being one of the best he's seen at getting quarterbacks ready to play. And obviously when Zach Robinson was in L.A., you know, Matt Stafford had some of his best years. Even Baker Mayfield was able to have some short-term success there. And so that's one of the reasons they wanted to bring him in. But you can't say enough about the job that Kevin O'Connell's doing there in Minnesota. It's really impressive.
Yeah, well, I think even more impressive might be what the Packers have done done with Malik Willis.
That's a good point.
I mean, Malik Willis goes back to Tennessee, the team that drafted him today, wins in Nashville 30-14. The Lions are going to be playing the Cardinals. They're just kicking off against the Cardinals. And suddenly the Vikings are 3-0 with Sam Darnold. The Packers are winning back-to-back games with Malik Willis at quarterback.
A 30-burger for Malik Willis. It's unbelievable. I mean, like, yeah, so much credit to LaFleur for, you know, putting together these game plans both this week and last week against the Colts that have allowed the Packers to, you know, not miss Jordan Love all that much. I mean, they're 2-1 now, and Jordan Love's 0-1 as their starting quarterback this season, having lost to the Eagles in that opening game in Brazil. So a huge credit to them for what they've done. It's not been the toughest task that they've gone against these last couple weeks in the Colts and Titans, but just to survive these games without Jordan Love is going to put them in great position to make a playoff run.
You mentioned the Bears, a lot of high hopes for the Bears in that NFC North, but they took one on the chin today in Indianapolis with the Colts beating them and shutting down Caleb Williams again. And I think somewhere Justin Fields is going, trying to tell you, that offensive line is...
Yeah. Ooh. Have you seen the cut-ups on, like, Twitter or X of their offensive line just
really
completely
bad.
Blowing blocks? If it's not a physically blown block, it's a mentally blown block where they just don't block the right guy and allow somebody to come through untouched. It's a whole mess on that offense. And so for that reason, you have to wonder if it's even a good situation for Caleb Williams to be in right now, because he's just under duress constantly. He was officially pressured on all but one of his dropbacks last week against the Texans. That is just not a sustainable way to play football in the NFL, and clearly the stats are showing it. He's just not having a lot of success. Did get a touchdown pass today to Roma Dunze, but it's been a struggle here for the Bears, and they give the Colts their first win of the season.
Steelers win at home over the LA Chargers. We'll see the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh a little later in the year. 20-10, it is Justin Fields' team. Who knows when or if Russ Wilson is actually going to play. The Steelers are, you know, just win, baby, right now, and they're just winning.
That's all they're doing. They're just winning, and they're beating some good teams. I mean, they gave the Chargers their first loss today, and, you know, it was interesting. I was watching a little bit of that Steelers-Chargers game before I came down here to this Move Lot where we're broadcasting on the Wade Ford Show, and, you know, the announcer said, you know, I think maybe the Steelers have found their quarterback here in Justin Fields. And typically, I think announcers say that not just because of what they're seeing in that particular game, but it's because of the conversation that these broadcasters have in the background with the coaching staffs. And you got to think, if you're Mike Tomlin, how do you take Justin Fields out? If he's taking you to a 3-0 record, how do you do that? How do you justify that to the players on the team who want to win games and to see the guy who's led them to wins come out of the lineup? I don't see it happening, frankly. I think Russell Wilson may have kind of lost his starting job.
Yeah, well, at least at the time being.
At least for the time being, right. I'm sure he will get some opportunities later in the season.
Panthers have scored again. Just to update you on that one, the Panthers now lead the Raiders 14-7, early second quarter in Las Vegas here. Seahawks have a 17-3 lead on the Dolphins. Oh, boy. You know, the Dolphins, that offense without Tua, it just stalls.
Yeah.
You know, this is why there's so much rumor. You know, they went out and they got Tyler Huntley, but I think there's a lot of rumor that, you know, Bryce Young could end up in Miami. I mean, and if you're Miami, you'd make the move. If you're Carolina, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah. Skylar Thompson, he's not a very good quarterback, unfortunately, for Mike McDaniel. And Mike McDaniel also, we were talking about head coaches and, like, how well they are at getting quarterbacks ready to play. Mike McDaniel is kind of a running game guru. That's what he was when he was on this Falcons staff back in 2016. That's kind of what the Dolphins, frankly, have been really, really good at, that creative short passing game and running game. And it's harder, I think, for him to get a quarterback like Skylar Thompson able to be effective in the NFL game.
Just update you on other games of progress. The Ravens have a 7-3 lead on the Cowboys in the first. 49ers jumped out early on the Rams, 7-0 in Los Angeles. Lions and Cardinals all tied at 7 in Arizona, also first quarter there. But again, the big news for the Falcons is both the Bucs and the Swampers lose today. The first loss for both teams, and they both lost at home. And so, and especially for the Swampers, who lost a conference game. So, again, this goes to, you know, tiebreakers down the road. And, of course, the next two teams that we'll see, you know, a week from today with the Swampers, and then the following Thursday night when the Tampa Bay comes into town here. But first things first, of course, Kansas City Chiefs, and that'll be coming up at 8:20 tonight. And so the division's there. We talked about it, how things change so fast, and all of a sudden, if they win this game tonight, we're going to be on the radio tomorrow, Joe. We're going to be talking to all of us about how, you know, the Falcons now are in first place, really, in a lot of ways, because I think just by quality wins, you can kind of look and say, okay, who's the best team in the division?
Right. Yeah. They will be, if not literally in first place, they will be figuratively and thought of as the best team
like
in this conference.
If you're voting in the AP poll.
Yeah, exactly.
If they win tonight, you rank them
exactly,
number one.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So, and it will be a fun day. If they're able to pull out this win, I think there's going to be a lot of, obviously, flowery coverage in the national media and everything, which is what Falcons fans want to see as well. So, yeah, that's what we're hoping for.
All right, coming up where you've clicked off 1 hour, and now we count down to kickoff as we move into the 5 o'clock hour on this Sunday. We'll get the very latest from the inside from our insider, Joe Patrick, on the injury report for both teams. How do they stack up? And we'll look at some of the stats as we get ready for the game tonight between the Falcons and Chiefs on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.